Hello and welcome to our Thursday edition of Connect and Grow Radio Show, which also becomes our podcast. My name is Jackie Grant and I'm from Break Free Consultancy. So today's topic is all about building the right community. What does your community look like and who's in it and why? Now, maybe you belong to a couple of different communities. So there could be the community where you're connected to people who have the same interests in you, such as computers. It could be also that you're connected to people who have an interest in running, or maybe you're in a wheelchair and you're really into wheelchair basketball, something like that. So your community is really zoned in and targeted to your interests and or capabilities. Now, community can have two different roles. It can build us up and help us to grow and help us to be the best we can, or it can actually be a place where we feel like we get a little. Now, as part of being in community and being part of a community, it's actually two different things. So, for example, I live in a community in the town that I live in the area, and there's shops and there's activities and there's so many things going on, right? But I actually don't do a lot in this particular community. I tend to go to other places because that is where our past work colleagues are, that is where the people I've met now are, things like that. So I actually travel around a little bit and my community tends to travel with me. There's also the online community. So, for example, social media is great for encouraging us to join groups. And some people are in a lot of groups and some people are just in two or three. And it really doesn't matter. It's just what's right for you. So I'd love for you to take a moment to stop and think about your community. Who's in your community? What does it look like? And how do you feel being in your community? One of the things that and why this is important is because when you identify your community, you can check in whether it's actually lifting you up, empowering you, and helping you to live the life that you really enjoy. Or is it a community that, while you want the information, it actually causes you stress and anxiety, which actually isn't good for your overall health? So let's just take a moment to stop and think about your community and what you love about your community. I'll just give you a minute or two to think about that. So if you're new to our radio show and podcast, we'd love for you to like it, to follow, to share. But we also want to let you know that everything that we share on this show, unless we give you a point of reference in like a specific space to go, it is all general information. It's really important that that is part of your understanding with this show. So moving forward, as part of the work that I do, I am part of the I guess we call it NDIS, disability community. And technically speaking, I have a disability. But for me, I don't see it as a disability. I see it more as an opportunity to hone in on different skills and being that unique person that I am. So it's really important that when you are sitting and connecting to community, you have your own identity as well. So there's the identity of the whole. So often when we say NDIS, and when we say disability community, it creates a picture and a different picture, different concept in everybody's mind. But it's important that whatever community you're part of, and maybe you are part of the NDIS and the disability community, that you don't lose your own identity, because you as the individual will have amazing talents. You will have strengths that you bring to not only that community, but to other communities in your life. So always remember that being part of a community is wonderful and incredible and can lift you up, but it's also extremely important that you never lose your identity, because your identity is who you are. And that is the beautiful person that you are and who you choose. Remember, it's choose to be. So let's touch on the NDIS community at the moment. And probably as we move forward and we get Wednesdays established, Wednesdays we're probably going to dedicate to the NDIS as such. But let's just touch on it today. We didn't do a show yesterday. So there are a lot of changes. This week, the CEO of the NDIS Commission, she has announced her resignation. So that comes into effect in May. So we know that there's a lot of changes. And our Minister, Bill Shorten, he's been in the media a lot as well, talking about the changes that they're working on. I attended a webinar this week, which was focused on the role of the navigator, which falls into more the foundational supports area, so outside of the NDIS. And every time we hear or see anything in the media, one of the biggest things that comes up is, oh, no, that won't happen. No. You know, the government can't get it right, so that's not going to happen. So that's kind of, a few people's thoughts and reactions. Then there's anger with, no, don't tell me, I don't want to know, because this really affects my life. It really impacts, like, no, don't want to know, go away, don't talk about it. Okay, fair enough. Anger. You know, this is scary. Change is scary. So this is okay. It's just how long you stay in the anger stage that we really want to think about. But that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. And then other people are like, oh, hell yes, this should be happening. Like, yes, we need these changes. We need more accountability. We need more of this. We need more of that. Yes, bring it on, right? And thank you for the comments. I'm glad that you are loving it. Thank you. So the beauty of information being shared in the community. So in this moment in time, we're talking about NDIS and disability community. When I, as a coach, as a consultant, share information, I know that some people are going to be happy with it, some people are going to be angry with it, and some people are going to sit in denial. But information is power. And I realize that sometimes as a person with autistic traits, I can be a little bit blunt. And that's because I'm so keen and caring, like, so I'm coming from a caring place, it just probably doesn't always articulate that way, that I want you to have this information so you can make an informed choice. Because what if nobody told you this information, and then you end up with, as a provider, you end up like with a legal letter, or what if there's a complaint that happens because you didn't know that your business is supposed to operate a certain way? Like, so what if you are a parent of a child who has a diagnosis of autism, and next thing you go to plan review and they go, actually, no, we're not reviewing it. We're removing you off the scheme, and you were blindsided by that. So while sometimes we share information in our communities, it's a little bit scary, and all reactions are yours and it's okay to have the reaction. However, it's how long you stay in anger, anxiety, stress. That's very important, that if you find that you're in there for more than a couple of days, please go and seek professional help. And maybe in your community, there is, you know, that opportunity for support. So, yes, a lot of changes are out there. They're being discussed. Definitely the webinar that I went to around the foundational supports and the navigator role, while there's a lot of positives, for a lot of people it's kind of scary, because if you're a support coordinator and this role comes in, what does that mean for you and your business? And if you're a person with an NDIS plan, what does that actually mean for you and your plan and moving forward? It's scary, right? Change is scary. But change with the right support, this is where community comes in, can be empowering, it can be exciting, it can be things that you never imagined them to be. Like, oh, I get it though. I get anxiety around change, and yet I'm the one creating a lot of change in my life. I'm like, oh, let's do a radio show, and yeah, let's write a magazine, and let's change careers, and let's change goals. And for some people, the rate at which I change or bring in new things is kind of scary to them watching me. But when it's right, when it's your passion, when you feel supported to do it, then why not? As long as it's not causing harm to you and harm to another person, why not live your life in an empowered way, in a positive way that makes you smile more times than it doesn't? So on that note, let's play one of these pieces of music. And this one I really like, right? Like it's a bit of fun. It's only going to go for a minute. So let's have a listen to this one when I can get it playing. Okay, so it's like, you know, let's feel good and enjoy our life. Celebrating, like, I don't know about you, but as I was listening to this, I'm thinking, celebrate. Yeah, I know I can't sing. Good times, right? Like that song. So I can't play that song because I don't have the rights to it. But you know, maybe I'll eventually track those down. That's the fun of having the show, right? So let's talk about how your community can actually help you. And today we might focus on the disability sector, and next week we will focus on a different topic. I will change my topics up a little bit, and if you're wanting to listen each day that we run the show, the goal is Monday to Friday, same time. You're just going to need to check the links. So we'll put the links out on our social media. We'll put them up, so in a block, and you can plan and save, but we'll also put them up on the day. So If you are a, let's go with a participant, so a person that lives with a disability, whatever that disability may be, and however it impacts your life, that's your journey. Are you living an isolated life, and the only people that you have contact with are your potential support workers or your support coordinator or your allied health team? Are they the only people that are they the people that, form your community? And is there any interest for you to go out and expand that community? And how would you go about doing that? So if we take someone that is feeling a bit isolated and, for whatever reason, leaving home is a bit of a challenge, but they love art or they love a really good book, or they have a passion about painting and they can paint, but they would love to learn a little bit more and even, open to some feedback. There are communities that are online, but how do you find them and how do you know what's right for you? It's so daunting, right? So many choices, and sometimes they're not the right choices. So in this particular incident, an example, the if your passion is, say, painting, and I know that I've got into paint pouring, so and that's a relatively new thing, not just for me, but for a lot of people. It's like all these ideas on how you can paint and abstract, right? It can be a lot of fun. But it's kind of how do I start? What do I do? So if you have a support worker, why not have that conversation with them? Oh, I'm interested in learning a bit more about paint pouring or all the other types of painting. I'm not comfortable to go on my own to the store to get the paints, but how can I do this and still start to be part of community? And the thing is that a really great support worker will actually sit with you, or a really good informal support, so family friend, will take the time to listen and sit with you and maybe do some research that you're not quite up to doing to gradually bring you into a community that's all around this painting. And who knows, you might make a new friend. But the first steps are often the hardest because you're stepping into an already established community, right? An already established group. So unless you're an extrovert, that's a challenge, but not impossible. So have a think about it and have a chat to your support network that you do have in place, whether it is your support worker who you're paying and they're paid to be there, but they can actually help you find and connect with the right community whilst being supportive and going at your pace. As you step into a new community, as I said, you're stepping into a space that's already up and running. And you're now the new kid on the block. And for some people, that on its own is enough to not want to do it. But with a bit of time and the right support, you may find the community that you wondered, why did I take so long to get here? It's important that you feel welcome in your community, no matter who you are, whether you have a disability or you don't, and only share in that community as much as you're comfortable to and feel safe to. Your safety should always be number one. So when we talk about providing services to people as disability support workers, even allied health providers, often in a person's plan, a goal is to be part of community, and there is a code that refers to social and community access. So it's about taking the person out to access community, whether it's the art gallery, the men's shed, the pottery class, computer, gaming, whatever that community looks like. And it's really important as the person that's the support worker or the provider actually listens, like really hears the person who wants to access the community, what they want to do. Okay. Yes, it's good to go to work and love your job, but you're not there for your social outing and your community. You're there to help them and encourage them where required to be part of their community. Big difference. Big difference. I hear from a lot of people with an NDIS plan that tell me, yeah, I went to the zoo. And I went, great, did you enjoy it? Yeah, no, I hate the zoo. Oh, that's a shame. What happened? Well, my support worker really wanted to go and see the monkeys. They've got some new ones there. And so today we had to go to the zoo. Right. So did you not enjoy any of the actual outing at the zoo? No, I did put on a bit of a smiley face, but at times I was just counting down the time of when can we go. And yeah, it's really drained me emotionally and physically, like I'm really tired now. No, it was not fun at all. And when you talk to the support worker, it's like, oh, we have the best day. We're at the zoo and, you know, my client really loved it. Like they were smiling. You could tell they were having a really good time. Two different stories of the same experience, of the same outing, at the same place that we can all go and check out the monkeys at the zoo. They're probably going to all be in the same enclosure if we go to the same zoo. But what is different is that one person absolutely loved it and the other person didn't. And that can make a difference in trust and confidence to actually speak up and say, hey, I really don't like monkeys and I really don't like the zoo. And whilst I think that, you know, great, thanks for suggesting it, it's not my space. I'd much rather go and sit at the art gallery and really get lost in the paintings or the sculptures because that's what I love. And if you were a support worker and you absolutely hate the art gallery and you think it's so boring, who cares? Because the person you're working with deserves to go to the place that they enjoy. And then on your time, you go do you. It's actually, if you think about it, a win-win because who knows, you might learn something new. But you're there to support somebody who requires your support and your assistance to get to the art gallery, to actually have a good time and be part of that community because that's their thing. Just something to think about. So as we think about that, we're just going to play one of these other little songs that I have here. It only goes for a bit over a minute, but, you know, it's important to have a moment to reflect on what I've just said and also have a reflection on if you're a provider, the services that you're providing that help people connect to community. So let's just play this song while we have a think about that. Thank you. So, how did you go having a little bit of a reflection on where you sit and how you help people access community when that's part of their goals? Now, this morning in a Facebook chat, I was actually speaking with someone, and this person was sharing. Thank you so much for the feedback. Was sharing how they offer this service, which I looked at it and I went, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's like exploring some of the theme parks and things like that in and around Queensland. And for some people, that would be so amazing and so much fun and confidence building and even a little bit of capacity building for that person, because it's like navigating a theme park or navigating an art gallery. Navigating these things can be so challenging for some people. So these are the things that are really key for us to have a think about, especially as service providers to people with disabilities or an NDIS plan. You know, how do we access these things in a safe way for them, safe way for everyone else, and really map it out properly? Now, there's this thing in NDIS, it's called STA or short-term accommodation, and the goal is primarily to give high intensity people, so people that have high intensity needs, their informal supports a break. Like, that's basically how that started. That line item in NDIS started as that. And I'm going to talk about this to actually help providers that offer these different services, and this is all part of building this social and community access part. Now, often, so STA covers the accommodation, it covers the food, and it covers the activities. And the thing with this is that a lot of people in the core funding of a plan, it is flexible, although with the new system, it's actually getting a little more itemized, so it's not as flexible as it used to be. So it's like allocated this much for assistance with daily living, allocated this much for social and community access, right? So it's a little bit of a mixture of things at the moment as transition from one CRM system to another. And that's all a topic for another day. But one of the things that if you are a service provider offering retreats, offering day activities, or like could be, you know, from Tuesday to Friday, we stay at this place and then we go out to these theme parks or activities, right? While all of that is amazing and wonderful, and yes, everybody should have opportunity to explore these things, one of the biggest pieces of guidance, now this is guidance, so take from this what is right for you, is to think about the activities that you're planning. And I run events, so I get the whole planning part, but remember the words of choice and control. So a person with a plan might love to come to your retreat or come to your planned activities, and they're amazing. Like, you know, the rest of us are putting our hand up going, I wish I could go. You know, just don't have the funding to pay for it, so to speak. And it's inviting and it's exciting. And it's like, yes, but how do they work into a person's NDIS plan and goals? Because that is really important. And how much choice do the people have around the activities that you're planning as part of this retreat or as part of these 2 days adventure activities, as part of this, you know, overnight camping trip? Like, how much choice do they have in these activities? Because this is something that is being asked a lot more of, and in some parts of plan reviews, people get asked, well, you know, what did you achieve? Like, you know, $10,000 or whatever was paid out, but that was just for 3 days. So tell me more of what happened, and did you enjoy it all, and what did you learn, and how did it help you with your capacity building, or how did it help you with your goals of being more independent? Like, tell me more. And those questions, I've sat in meetings and those questions have come up. And then, you know, it's been fed back to the person that really that retreat or that 2-day trip or whatever, really, no. So we're going to cut your plan funding so you don't do that again. So that it's a balancing act, and it's really important that if you're a provider offering these services and saying to the person, yeah, just use STA, well, it's getting trickier now, because if they don't have STA in their plan, even though core is flexible, so it has some movement, it doesn't necessarily mean the invoice will be paid, because it might not be part of built into their plan. But also, how is it helping the person to access their community with their goals of what is right for them? Because I might love the opportunity to go and see the dolphins and things like that, but Mary, who's with us, doesn't want to do dolphins. She hates dolphins, and she'd much rather sit in the calm than watch dolphins, right? So what's happening so that I can do my thing and Mary can do her thing if you're doing a group activity? You know, who's going to support both of us when one wants to go left and the other wants to go right? So really important to have these conversations as part of the onboarding process. If you're going to offer retreats, if you're going to offer these things to help people access community more, please really have a great conversation that has flexibility, because these activities that they have always wanted to do, never been able to do, so deserving to do, may lead to them wanting to do more, which is a really great thing, but it might not be a viable option. So what happens after they've spent this time with you, that they can still be part of this outdoor community, or they can still be part of this community that is into art or into entertainment? Like, some people love live bands or live music all the time. Like, give me more of that. So really important that when you're introducing or helping someone access these, especially if it's the first time in a long time, that there's a little bit of a plan for how that can be an ongoing thing. It could be if they've come to you for a certain period, like, you know, so a retreat or something, and it's only for a few days, that you then feed back to their normal supports. Actually, during this retreat, Mary really loved meditation, and she said that she'd love to do more of that. So just thought I'd let you know, and this is the actual meditation that we did. So when you can feed it back to their normal support team that they have all the time, that can actually help as well. And then the next step could be in the local community, finding a meditation class that Mary might be comfortable to do. And that is empowering and supporting a person to enjoy their life. And is that not what we're here for on this world? To enjoy our life as much as possible. Okay, so let's stop for a moment and think about, could we even possibly list? Probably not. The number of different communities that are available in this world. There's gardening communities, there's travel communities, there's people that love to travel all the time, like they're rarely home. I know someone that travels 8 months of the year, and I was working with this person as like in coaching, and we were focusing on weight management and things like that. And they said, oh yes, we're going to be, for our next call, we're going to be in this area and reception might be really poor. And I went, wow. And I said, so why do you love to travel? Oh, well, we meet up with the same, you know, we meet up in Perth, we meet up with these people. And then in Darwin, we meet up with these people, and they've got a whole community. That just in different places. So, and I said, well, outside of catching up with these people and seeing, you know, the beautiful parts of Australia and some of it maybe not as beautiful, but like why do you travel so much and why do you own a home if you're on the road so much and you've got your caravan and you know all of that, like you're self-sufficient out there on the road, so why do you need a house and what is this giving you? And she laughed and she said, I love these questions. And she said, I've never really thought about them, so thank you for asking. She said, being out on the open road for us is a sense of freedom. And yes, we're towing a caravan and we're not going to be able to do this forever. As we age, our body and reflexes change and, you know, our health changes. So the house is there for when we can't travel anymore. And I said, well, what will you do when you can't travel? Because you'll travel and you've got your community in Perth and you've got your community in Darwin, you've got your community in Brisbane and wherever else, right? What happens when you can't travel to those places anymore and you're not out on the road and you're not in different places at different times of the year and you're just with the same four walls, so to speak? What happens then? And she stopped and she took a moment and she said, once again, I love this question, and this is what I love about coaching with you, is that you ask the questions that I maybe didn't think of. And she said, but now my homework is I'm going to actually think about that and think about how, like, what happens after we can't access that travel community anymore because we can no longer tow a caravan and our community meets at these caravan parks. So what do we do then? What are our options? What if we can no longer get on a plane? For example, so, you know, forget about driving. We just can't even get on a plane because of whatever reason. And this is where having an insight into what the current community and activities that you're doing, what brings you joy, and what happens when life, aging, whatever takes over, and you can no longer access that. What happens for you personally? What happens for the other people in your life? And how will you feel? Like, what is your next community as your life changes? So when we can be open to flexibility in our life, when we can look and understand that our interests change, that's just normal. Like, interests, hobbies, they all change. And how flexible are we to change with them? And I know that as someone with autistic traits, there are certain things that take, like, I have to do. Like, if you said to me, change your morning routine, I'd look at you and go, are you nuts? Like, no, I have to do this because to me, it forms this sense of stability and security. But if you said to me, what if when you got up first thing in the morning, instead of doing having a hot drink, you actually committed to 10 minutes on a treadmill because, you know, we want to get into more exercise. What if you started with that and then had your drink versus having your drink and then going, oh, now I've got to get on with the day and I don't have time for exercise. So sometimes our community can form that safety net and security. And sometimes, and I know that this is out there, is the community of, you know, oh, we've got to be prepared for all the worst case scenarios. I'm not going to go into them. And sometimes getting all of that information. So you're in the community group and they're saying, right, guys, we've heard this. We're going to have to prepare for this and, you know, start stocking up on your food or start, I don't know, whatever it is, right? And what if, you know, you want to know this stuff, but it creates anxiety for you every time you hear it and you go, oh, doomsday, we're dead, we're done. Like, it's the worst case ever. It's probably not the worst case ever. And there's probably someone else with a worse situation than you, but this is your response. Is this community actually good for you? Up to you, but maybe not. And How else could you get this information that doesn't cause you the stress and anxiety? Because you still want to know, how do I become self-sufficient with my food? Or how do I survive if there's a power outage? Or how do I, do whatever? It's important that you feel safe, you feel comfortable, and that the community, for the most part, is supporting and empowering you. So very important. Now, there's also the fitness community. And I don't know how many of you listening to this have ever joined a gym. I know that when I weighed 168 kilos and I really wanted to work with a personal trainer, I walked into the gym and I looked at all the people in the room and then they all looked at me and I was like, I can't even sit on that piece of equipment because I won't fit. I'm so big. And obviously, like anything, the equipment in the gym has a weight capacity, which in some instances I actually exceeded that weight capacity. And I remember wanting to join this gym and get the support from a personal trainer, but I felt so ashamed and I felt so self-conscious that even though the personal trainer was so welcoming, so amazing, so like, yes, Jackie, we can do this, we can get you started. I myself did not feel welcome in that community, but you know what? I gave it a go for a month. That's all I could last because my program was designed, and I didn't have the personal trainer every session. So I only had the personal trainer once a week, but I was going 3 times a week to follow my program. And on one occasion, when I was in there and I was attempting to set this piece of equipment the way my trainer had taught me, someone came up to me and said, "You do know you probably exceed the weight limit for that machine. It's probably not safe for you to do it, and I don't think you belong here." Now, of course, I tried to be positive about it and said, "Thank you for your feedback. I've got my instructions here from my personal trainer with the pictures. You can see this is this piece of equipment. This is that's great. Thanks for your feedback. I'm going to do this anyway." Now, internally, I was crying, and I was only just holding back the tears because I didn't want to show weakness in front of this person. So I went ahead and I started using this piece of equipment. Now I was a bit slower than most people, and so someone else wanted to use it. They came up and they said, "Look, really think you've probably done enough for today. You don't want to have a heart attack or anything. Can you just move on to the next piece because I actually need these pieces of equipment now?" So two people are basically telling me not to be there. And yet this is meant to be a community of empowering health and fitness, right? Now, one of the other trainers at the gym saw what was going on and came up to me and said, "Look, are you okay?" And I said, "Actually, no, I'm not." I said, "It took a lot for me to come here. I'm aware that I'm morbidly obese and I could have a heart attack at any time. I'm aware of this, but I'm doing my best to be here to take care of me." So my point in sharing this story is that sometimes we have to overcome some adversity and judgments in the communities that we choose to be in. Now, I did leave that gym, but one of the personal trainers also had their own business outside of the gym as well as working at the gym, and it was, all kosher and everything like that. So he said to me, "I will work with you outside the gym, or we'll work a time that you can come in, and because I would love to see you get rid of some of this weight for your over, and I can see how important this is to you." So sometimes what happens is we have full intentions on joining a community because it's going to help our health, our fitness, our well-being, potentially our mental health, and sometimes a lot of the members of that group do not welcome us in. So, if you ever experience that, either find another group that does the same sort of thing, but they're more welcoming, Or work out a way that you can keep following your dreams and your goals where you can be supported. And maybe one of those things is starting your own community, which doesn't necessarily take a lot of work. For example, I started Connect and Grow magazine in September last year. I did the first edition completely by myself. I went to a women's networking group, but I'd also met with someone else who attended one of my events. She mentioned that she writes some articles. I said, "Would you like to write an article each month for my magazine?" She said, "Yes." And so now we have two writers. Then, as I got to know people and reconnected with some people, I then brought on two new writers. So now we have four of us writing for the magazine. We've developed our own little community. I've connected with a lot of NDIS providers, allied health, nursing, other therapists, support workers all around Australia. I've connected with them just by being present in small groups and then having conversations or people coming to my events or connecting. And so now Connect and Grow magazine goes out to over 42,000 stores on as part of a global distribution list. This show and podcast is relatively new. I have an old podcast that we're going to bring those episodes across slowly, but now when we do this recording, it will go out to a distribution list as well. And so I'm effectively creating my own Connect and Grow community one person at a time. My events get booked out really quickly, which is that Connect and Grow community and networking. So sometimes by being us and following our dreams, when we attempt to fit into other communities and it just doesn't feel right, but we'd so love to be part of it, but for whatever reason it doesn't work, sometimes by just sharing your idea with one other person and them coming on board can then have a ripple effect to other people. Now, it takes time. It's like this show. We're opening it up to businesses to sponsor us. We'll do an ad. Like, this show has been brought to you by whoever. And we're happy for that. We would love to have businesses come on and, co-host the show with us one day. We are opening it up to community in health, in fitness, in well-being, in disability, neurodiversity. We will, we're open to conversations to grow this radio show to help build a community that is supportive. A lot of information today. So as we start to bring it all together, I just want to bring up one more topic which really impacts the NDIS community, which is the development of foundational supports. And I touched on the navigator role a little bit earlier. Now, we don't really know what everything looks like because we're just hearing bits and pieces and, attending places. But we do know that there is a plan, that the NDIS costs a lot of money, and that, there's budgets and KPIs and things like that that are going on behind the scenes. Hey guys, you spent too much money over here. We've got to pull that in. We've got to do some cost cutting, whatever conversations they're having. So for the development of foundational support, National Cabinet said they're committed to developing this over the next 5 years. Now, some of us think it'll probably happen a little bit faster as they're working on the legislation now and the different roles and, what their vision is. They haven't shared it all with us yet, and eventually they will. But with these changes coming, if you are a service provider, it is really great to build your community both for service providers in the NDIS and outside of the NDIS. And what does your business model look like if half of your participants were taken off the scheme and put into foundational support? Like, What happens then with your costing model and your service provision and your policies and your procedures? So this is where developing community now for referral pathways in what it looks like, the conversations you may have is a really good idea, because while the other people don't want to know about it, don't think that these changes are going to happen, if your business model can be flexible enough to go, oh, okay, well, half of our people now don't have NDIS plans, they have community connection plans. I'm just making that word up, by the way. But they have this other plan in foundational support. Okay, so where do my services fit into that, and what might that look like? And just having those thoughts, because if you build your community that's purely in the NDIS sector, and things and some of your people move out of that, so you're no longer getting all those referrals. So if we move support coordinators out, if so, just paying attention, if that happens, if the navigator role is developed, which from the webinar that I was at on Wednesday this week sounds like it's underway. If that happens, how connected are you to other areas in the community that aren't directly involved in NDIS? Have a think about it, because this is one of the reasons why the magazine is important, why the radio show and podcast is important, is to empower you to connect with other people. Some of our regular writers, well, our regular writers in the magazine are also going to become regular guests on the show. And some of them have nothing to do with people with an NDIS plan at all, like nothing, because their business isn't that way. But they're not opposed to it. They're actually open to connecting with other businesses that do have that aspect, and making it a holistic community. And if you can, as a service provider listening to this, can start thinking about what your community looks like, both in NDIS and outside of NDIS, and what would it look like if you had to provide services to people outside of that, and how does that fit in with the Disability Services and Inclusion Act of 2023, which talks about fair pricing to people with a disability? Having these thoughts, working through all of this now, building your community can help not only you as a business owner, but you as a service provider who's person-centered. And person-centered service provision will go a long, long way for the survival and the success of your business. And that's my little get it right speech for today. Now, if you listen to me, if you watch me a lot, if you see my posts, you know I'm all about business compliance, setting it up properly, business ownership and responsibility. And as a business, you can connect to other businesses that form that business community as well. We are bringing out a 12-month program. It's going to start at the end of March, and it's called Connect, Grow, and Coach. It's online. It's connecting once a month with other service providers, whether they're in NDIS or not. It's about having a little bit of a share about your business and where you're at. There's the opportunity to do referrals to each other because you've now built up trust and got to know each other. It's about building community, and it's about, okay, here's some updates and here's some coaching to help you with your business. If you're listening to this and it's something that you're interested in, then the links on how to connect with me will be in the recording. You can visit our website, breakfreeconsultancy.com. We'd love to have a chat with you around what that looks like. We've kept the fee for that really low for the value. So we're bringing value. It's value over money, but obviously business to business, there is a fee. So I hope today has been helpful. We've covered a lot of different examples and a lot of different ways that community can look. We are human beings. We do like our alone time, and alone time is important, but ultimately we like to be around other people, and we like to be around like-minded people. Your community could be all one gender, it could be gender neutral, it could be all about art, it could be spirituality, it could be food, it could be nutrition. Like, there are so many different types of community, and you might be connected to a multitude of communities because you're really passionate about food, but you love to grow your own food. So there's two different communities, and then you just bring them together, right? You could be really passionate about food, but also really passionate about art and sculpting with clay and things like that. You could be really passionate about fishing and then love gardening or football or sports in general. Community is important for our mental, our physical, and emotional well-being. And as long as that community is positive for you, it feels right, you feel welcome, then well done and congratulations. So important. Business community is important as well because it helps you connect with other businesses, and that opens up conversations and referral pathways. And I'm just going to finish on having that work-life balance is very, very important. Having healthy boundaries in your life and healthy boundaries in your communities, extremely important for everybody. You deserve the best. You deserve to enjoy your life, and you deserve to shine brightly in whatever it is you do. You deserve to smile and have tears of happiness more than you have tears of anger and frustration and sadness. So keep believing in you. We're going to be back here again at 9 a.m. Tomorrow morning, and as we move into the next week, we're setting up the timetable. So over the next couple of days, I'm setting up the timetable for next week. Wednesdays on some occasions will be a little bit hit and miss. And just to give you the heads up, Thursday, the 14th of March, I'm running an expo. So we might not necessarily go live at 9. We might change that time to go live later on when I'm at the expo so that we can actually, share what's going on at that time. So stay tuned for that one adaptation. And then Wednesdays, we'll be doing two Wednesdays in March that will be live at 9 a.m. And then in April, we'll be in full swing to the 5 days a week. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of Connect and Grow radio show and podcast. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you'd like to be a sponsor, let's have a conversation. You can visit my website, breakfreeconsultancy.com. We'll put links in the recording so that if you're listening to this at a later date, you can reach out to us and have that conversation. Keep smiling. Have an amazing day. You are incredible, and take care of you.